Today being Palm Sunday, we actually remember a moment in history. We commemorate that moment in history. We welcome the same Jesus who entered Jerusalem with power, with purpose, with peace. Not evident, but that was, he actually entered Jerusalem with power, with purpose, and with peace. Remember that day today. And I pray that all the purpose of God through Jesus, as he rode into Jerusalem, as he went to the temple and left, and all the way on his journey to the cross and his crucifixion, his resurrection and his ascension, and as we wait for his coming again, that it will be fulfilled in your lives to the glory of the Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Today marks the beginning of the Holy Week. Call it the Holy Week. Tomorrow is the Holy Monday. And that was, remember, the day when the lady anointed Jesus in preparation for his crucifixion. And we go on to Holy Tuesday also, and Holy Wednesday, and Thursday, and then the Good Friday. And then also Good Friday when he was crucified, and Sunday when he's resurrected. And Easter Monday, or as we call it back home, we meet him in Galilee. These are all commemorations, trying to remember a moment in history. But we know that this is relevant even today, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The word that God spoke and the things that God did, they were active. He said to Jesus, the people, the Sadducees who were against resurrection, said, look, did you not hear in bush when God said, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel? He's not a dead God, he's a living God. Hallelujah. And what Jesus did then is living even to today. It was the Holy Week, it was a week that changed the whole world. And I'm so excited, so pleased to tell you that today, to tell you the King, Jesus, is still coming. Amen.
Amen.
And he's coming for you. He's coming for you. He's coming for us. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at the scripture that sort of describes this event. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 11. Matthew 21:1. When they approached Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples ahead, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and once you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you should say, the Lord needs them. And without delay, the owner will send them with you. This happened so that what was spoken by the prophet Zechariah would be fulfilled, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, that's the people of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of the beast of burden. Then the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats on them, and Jesus sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road as before a king, while others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those who followed him were shouting in praise and in adoration, Hosanna to the Son of David, the Messiah. Blessed, praised, glorified is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the heavens. When he entered Jerusalem, All the city was trembling with excitement, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, we remember the day, that day Jesus entered Jerusalem. As a king. But we know he was a king. The prophecy he fulfilled was that of the anointed one, the Messiah, that's a king. But he did not come riding in a chariot. He did not come as you would expect a king to come. But he came on a donkey. He was not welcomed with parades and armies, but by crowds, ordinary peasant crowds, waving palm branches. There was no fanfare and national items or soldiers' display. There's just the people shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And this moment we remember today reveals the upside-down nature of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is not like that of the world. Jesus came as a king in humility, not by force. He came in peace, not showing he was a conquering king. He is the prophesied king. Centuries before Jesus was born, the prophet Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, prophesied about his coming. Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey." He comes to you. Hallelujah. And this same Jesus comes to you today where you are. Righteous, victorious, lowly, not intimidating, riding on a donkey. Now, Jesus deliberately fulfilled this prophecy. It was known before, but he was able to show it, was able to do it so as to confirm it. He sent for the donkey that he could ride on. You and I also, we are donkeys that God has sent so that he could use us. Amen?
Amen.
He called us so he could use us, so he could ride on us, so to speak. He could manifest his kingship, his authority in our lives, in what we do, what we share with other people, in how we worship him. In John 18:36, Jesus said, John 18:36, because Jesus came gentle and lowly in heart, not as the kingdoms of this world. And in John 18:36, Jesus said that himself. He said, "Look, my kingdom is not of this world, nor does it have its origin in this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting hard to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this world." And Zechariah saw that before and prophesied it. Jesus came gentle, lowly in heart. His kingdom was not of this world, but the kingdom, his kingdom is a real kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as in heaven." He came from heaven. You remember that song? He came from heaven to earth to show the way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know what you are expecting of a king or a savior like Jesus. I just encourage you to worship the true king, to worship Jesus, and especially today, this Palm Sunday, as he calls us to surrender and to serve him and to serve others. Jesus was also a very misunderstood king. The crowds were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! That save us!" But many hoped for a political liberation. They were not really looking for spiritual salvation because they were under the rule of the Romans. So they were bringing that the Messiah will actually liberate them. Not from sin, which is what God came to do, what Jesus did. But they were thinking of being liberated from the occupying army. Total misunderstanding. And when Jesus failed to overthrow Rome or the Romans, many turned against him. They eventually crucified him. They clearly did not understand. They didn't comprehend Jesus' mission. They had completely misunderstood what was happening. What was happening, even the events that was unfolding before them. Not only was it unfolding before them, they were actually participants in that event. It's like watching a movie in which you are and you're looking at it and you don't understand it. You misunderstand it. They actually crucified him. They did not understand it. Luke 19 shows this clearly because of what Jesus said. Luke 19, verse 41. Luke 19, 41. As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it at the spiritual ignorance of his people, saying, "If only you had known on this day, even you, the things which make for peace and on which peace depends. But now they have been hidden from your eyes. For a time of siege is coming when your enemies will put up a barricade against you and surround you with armies and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground, you Jerusalem, and your children within you. They will not leave in you one stone on another, all because you did not come progressively to recognize and observe from personal experience the time of your visitation, the time when God was gracious towards you and offered you salvation." Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they missed the day of his coming. They wanted a conqueror, but he came as a suffering servant. He came to take away their sins. He came to die for them, a suffering servant, but they did not understand that. They were expecting a conquering king who would come and turn the other Romans upside down and remove the Romans from the remove them from the bondage of being under a Roman rule, not knowing that Jesus came to remove them, to take them from the bondage of being under Satan. I will take to be freed from bondage under Satan and sin any day, because the consequences of sin is death. I will take it any day, in place of being relieved from the bondage of a foreign power, of a ruling power, because that's only temporary. But to be freed from sin and the power of sin is eternal. And that's what Jesus came to do. And this Palm Sunday, that's what we should remember. Because we're all born again. We're not waiting for Jesus on our terms, but maybe sometimes we want Jesus on our own terms, on our own grounds. No. You have to embrace Jesus as he comes. We have to carry our respective cross all to his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Palm Sunday begins the sacrificial journey that Jesus made to the cross. That's it begins today. He'd done miracles, but from today, it was no longer about miracles. It was that final journey, final 5 days. Philippians 2, verse 5. Paul writes, "Have this same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, looking to him as our example in selfless humility, who, although he existed in the form and unchanging essence of God, as one with him, possessing the fullness of all the divine attributes, the entire nature of the deity, he did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped or asserted, as if he did not already possess it, or was afraid of losing it. But he emptied himself without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity by assuming the form of a bond servant. And being made in likeness of men, he became completely human, but was without sin, being fully God and fully man. After he was found in outward appearance as a man, he humbled himself still further by becoming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen.
Amen.
Because of the way he humbled himself. And here we see that Jesus was God who came for this purpose. And he entered Jerusalem and they did not even realize what was happening. Finally, they crucified him. But this journey of this week is as exactly as God knew they would do. God knew that would happen because God knew man. And so he came to die for man. He knew that's what they were going to do. And he willingly surrendered to it. He didn't run away from it. He willingly offered his life. He willingly laid down his life on the cross. He willingly took all the abuse, took all the beating, took all the mocking. Willingly he did it, so that you and I may inherit heaven. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's what we remember on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of the journey. Jesus entered Jerusalem knowing he would die. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And you and I are still partaking of that. 2,000 years plus down the road. He gave his life for you and I. As we enter this holy week, let us walk with Jesus. Let us daily reflect on the reason for his coming, the purpose for his coming. Let's do that every day. His coming and going to the cross on Good Friday and the victory of Easter, and how we from Easter Monday can be better prepared for his return as King. Because he's coming back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That the angel said, on Monday, they went and they saw him rising. That the angel said, look, this same Jesus who you see rising will come again. The palm branch is a symbol of victory. The people were declaring, it's like they were declaring a win before the battle, though they did not really know that they were going to a battle. But now we can look back and look at that. Wow, that no, they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. It was a celebration. It was the welcoming of a win. Because you normally welcome a soldier, a general who's going to won battles. When he comes, you know, they celebrate, they shout his praises. And I think we can probably liken that to like an election contest and where the person wins and everybody's waving and shouting. But so the palm was a symbol of victory. It was a symbol that yes, we have conquered death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the Pentecostal power. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. And that power came. We celebrate Palm Sunday with the palms because we worship in advance. We worship by faith. We call those things which are not as though they are. Now, this is something that was happened, but it's looking forward to that which is to come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And praise, brothers and sisters, praise is a weapon. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. When you shout Hosanna, even in your pain, you are declaring God saves. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing broken, nothing missing. Hosanna. When you wave your spiritual palm in the middle of your storm or the storm, you are declaring victory is already mine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Palm Sunday isn't just another Sunday. It's a prophetic moment, a prophetic day. Jesus is still coming into cities, into homes, into avenues and drives and closes and wherever you name your street or where you are. Jesus is coming. The question is, are you ready to welcome him as he is? Not just as you want him to be, but as he is. He's still coming. Let's not be the crowd that praises him one day and turns away the next, as those people of Jerusalem were in the time of Jesus. But let's be the remnant that cries out, Hosanna in the highest. And let's live as if we mean it. Let's live our lives like we mean it. God saves. Hosanna in the highest. The harvest field, brothers and sisters, is ready indeed. Amen.
Amen.
Continue our worship this morning in the giving of our tithes and offerings. Can you please turn with me your Bibles to the epistle to the Galatians, chapter 6, reading from verse 7 to 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life.
Amen.
And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sowing and reaping. That is the analogy that Paul gives us here today. He's sharing that our giving is like sowing. It's like planting seeds for a future harvest. Not a harvest today, but one for the future. And our focus, or what is our focus? Is it on sowing to the flesh? Or is it a sowing to the spirit? Sowing to the flesh will reap corruption. It's terminal, it will die at some point in time. But sowing to the spirit will reap everlasting life.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Let us give with that everlasting life in focus, in mind. And as verse 9 says, if we persevere, if we do not tire, if we trust fully in God, we have that assurance that in due season, we will reap that reward.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So let us give to the work of the Lord a generous gift, a gift that focuses on sowing to His Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look up the bank account details. So we can give online now.